Hello, welcome to the Junk Time AFL Podcast, Round 6, 2024. We're coming to you from Wayne Jackson Studios. My name is Michael Chamberlain, and joining me is a man who is very excited about these new rules at the tribunal. It is Adam Rosenbach.
G'day, Michael. G'day, Junk Timers. What a weekend of footy we just had. And it was most exciting that Charlie Cameron from Brisbane was allowed to play after he was given a week for a sling tackle on Melbourne's Jake Lever. They took it to the tribunal, and the tribunal went, you know what? We've had a bit of a think about this, and Charlie, you are a fucking ripper of a bloke. And therefore, 1 week, down to none, off you go, mate. Get back out there, and you lost to Geelong in the rain. That's what I love to see.
Slap on the wrist, grab mate, everybody you can in a sling tackle. We have your back, Charlie Cameron.
So what I want to know now, the tribunal has opened up a can of worms. Mm-hmm. A Pandora's box has been opened up here, Michael. Because if you go to the tribunal and say you're Dustin Martin, right? He ends up at the tribunal, say he goes for a fend off, hit someone in the face. They go, that's 2 weeks, it was a little bit high. But then Dusty goes in with just a series of his mates having talked about being to Vegas with him.
Yep.
And what a fucking ripping time they had when they were there for that week. They just go like a litany of stories about how much fun Dusty was hanging out. The tribunal's got no choice but to go, we've got it wrong.
For sure. When they go through and they give the actual evidence what Dusty does, because obviously Dusty goes over there, Swanee with the gang. Will Push-Up be in that kind of group, do you reckon? The Push-Up King?
Yeah, I wonder if they hang out with the Push-Up King. We haven't heard from the Push-Up King for a little while. He's
well,
been quiet.
Quick detour, but Nathan Brown was talking about he wanted to have a boxing match with the Push-Up King after he just worked his magic beautifully on Kane Corns. And so he's maybe he's putting a little bit of a feeler out there, Adam, for maybe the King of the Republic of Push-Up to maybe go a bit of pugilism with him. But, so Dicey, he's made, so get into the tribunal.
References was the word I was looking for before. He just has a series of references from people who go, mate, you just don't know what it's like to fucking hang out with
and
him.
And they
it's
go,
awesome.
Yeah, they go, Your Honour, he organises the rooms at Caesar's Palace. Like, before we even, he's there with the little credit card swipe at the door.
Yeah.
He's already glad-handed the staff at the casino tables. He's giving them, you know, little palm them 100 to say, keep the drinks coming all night, guys. And then some of the after dark work is absolutely spectacular, Your Honour. And their eyes be out on sticks going up. I mean, I've been in the legal profession for 35 years. I've never heard of someone be this good a bloke to his mates.
Almost to the point where he would leave the tribunal with games in the bank. They go, mate, you're such a good bloke. You've got 6 weeks up your sleeve. Do whatever you want. He could studs up someone and just kick them right in the face and then gutter stomp them. And they'll be like, all right, that's your 6 weeks. You can still play next week. That's how good a bloke he is.
And they can't believe their ears. And they go, are you telling me that Dustin Martin, on that trip to Vegas, he stayed awake for 4 days in a row just to look after his mates?
That was Michael Chamberlain who said that for everyone out there listening who's a friend of Dusty's.
I like the idea, though, like it now does it work in reverse. So the prosecutor at the tribunal, like we now have the good bloke defence, we have the good bloke defence. But now we can just go, we got the bad bloke defence.
Shit bloke.
So they can walk into tribunal and they go, it is like Campbell Brown said, it's a bit like a court. They have the defence and they have the prosecutor. So the prosecutor walks up and goes, Your Honour. This man, the accused, he once not only touched a man's wallet, he touched a man's wife. Bad bloke, 8 weeks.
Yeah, is that going to cost Jack Inovan going forward?
Because, dude.
He's not particularly loved. If he goes up there and they go, what would have been a $1,500 fine, all of a sudden, because of who he is, turns into an 8-week suspension.
And then also just kind of, I like the idea, like all the people who kind of, you know, have had interactions with footballers over Instagram and social media. The DMs are unveiled in court. There you go, Your Honour. Your Honour, I think we all know what that is a picture of.
Like if I was Jake Stringer, I wouldn't be up at the tribunal in a hurry, if you know what I'm saying. Tex Walker. I'd watch yourself, son.
Oh, dude. Yeah, no, very interesting. I mean, it was one of the Scott brothers. I think it was Chris. I think he said, you know, well, if this is now on the table, then we do. Yeah. And in the past, they would have provided character references for players.
Yes, they have done, but it very rarely gets you off when it was so obvious a sling tackle. And you know what? Everyone kind of had accepted that we've gotten rid of that in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And so when Charlie Cameron did it, they just kind of went, yeah, that seems fair enough. It wasn't one of those really contentious ones. And then they argued, but come on, mate. Would a ripper bloke really mean to sling tackle? He wouldn't.
Well, I think also on top of that, when they say they get rid of the game, look, they probably decrease the high contact. But I feel like the sling tackle is actually one of the harder things to get rid of in the game.
Just because of like the momentum and, you know, when you are trying to bring someone to ground, it's the only way to get in there.
Yeah, and you go, well, am I aware that I've pinned both their arms? Am I aware that they can't, you know, what are they doing with their arm positioning, how they're rolling forward, how they're rolling to the side. Like, I think it actually be very difficult to change that action in game.
Well, particularly too, because remember when there was kind of the change of, you know, it becoming less violent, that a tackle was basically one of the only places where you could actually drive someone into the turf.
Yeah.
And you still hear, like Matthew Lloyd, talk about when you're going for a mark and there's a defender in front of you, to drive your knees through their spleen.
Yeah, and then on top of that, for the fullback, if they were behind Matthew Lloyd, grab the mark and then put him in the back and then you drive the elbow into the back of the head before you get up. Like, you see it all the time back in the day.
Yeah, there should be more. But now you must be excited. The Hawks, what a fucking win. I mean, just when you think Hawthorn are down and out, they come out and they just... they treat North Melbourne like they're nothing. Look, and that was just special from the Hawks.
It was actually very nervous. Obviously, because, I mean, we've been talking for a long time that, I mean, I can't see North losing another game for 5 years. I mean, they are...
they're that good.
They are
they
that
deep.
Good. They are that
they're
good.
Bad deep.
And so going into the game, I mean, I'd written us off. I thought, there's no way we can beat a full-strength North Melbourne on their home turf...
I know.
On a Sunday at 4 p.m. I mean,
playing North ball.
I mean, that's the thing. That's the thing.
Yeah.
So I was like, there's no way this is going to happen. But yeah, luckily, you know, we had a big week. We had a mouth guard in, kind of training session week.
Yeah. Are you allowed to do that? Is that is like HR come up? Does occupational health and safety come up and go
get it ticked off before?
Like, imagine you're at work and just said to everyone, "Hey, everyone, tomorrow, bring your mouth guard. It's fucking on."
I wonder how many times you can actually bring out the mouth guard kind of training session. Like, or does it lose its effect? So you can only bust it out on special occasions? Like,
I think it can only be special occasions, because if you do it every week, one, the players are going to start to see through it and be like, well, we can't keep doing this. And two, I imagine that bringing the mouth guards is everyone's going to get really fucking hurt.
And also, you'd be crying wolf if you kind of said every second week, you know, let's bring out the mouth guard. They'd be like, well, you said that last time and I didn't get hurt, so what do I care?
What about, though, if you're a bring the mouth guard team every week and then after a particularly big win, you're like, fellas, leave the mouth guards in the bag.
Hey!
You go, we got a fucking nice week off. We had a good win. We deserve not having mouth guards in.
And you had a good win as well against the Giants. Actually, nothing to sniff at with that win.
Well, that was kind of huge. Like, the Giants kicked away at the start of the third. And I didn't go this weekend. I was fucking... I couldn't be fuck going to Marvel again.
Mm-hmm.
2 weeks in a row. And so I decided against it, watched at the pub. And when the Giants got about 20 points up, you're kind of like, yeah, you know what? They're undefeated for a reason and they're flying. They've got the orange tsunami.
Yep. Now, can I just backtrack for a little bit? Couldn't be fucking a Marvel again. You literally can walk like 50 metres to a tram that will literally take you to those steps at Spencer Street to go up to Marvel. Like in 25 minutes, maybe tops. How can you not be fucked to go to Marvel again?
Because I have a pub that's about 250 metres from my front door and I can sit there in comfort and, you know, get chicken wings and some chips. And, you know, just live the dream. Live the dream. I don't need to be at Marvel. I know they've got new pubs down at Marvel. They launched those this week. And can I just say, there was an article, a report on Channel 9 and Tony Jones, Chompers.
Yep.
He went down there to sample the food and the wear down at these two new pubs. And can I just say, because one of the big sort of things that they spruiked about these two new pubs down there is that you would go there after the footy. Now, can I just say to anyone who's working at those pubs post a game of footy, I feel for you. Because you've got guys who've been on the gas for 2.5 hours yep. and then they slosh their way into your pub to hang out at Marvel. They've decided not to leave. They've decided that it's so good to hang around at Marvel Stadium. That's the kind of low-rent person that's going to be in your pub well, who's decided that it's a good place to hang.
TJ went through the menu. He said you get an entree serve of chicken wings for $22. You yep. get chicken parmigiana for $32. And he had in front of him quite a large hot dog, plant-based hot dog that actually looked quite enormous. And that seemed good value. And then this is where I thought maybe he was doing an ad because he said you could get a pint of Carlton Draft for $16, which I think for a footy price is not too bad. But I was like, my antenna went up when he said the actual Carlton Draft.
Well, yeah, that is a very good point. But also, you know where Channel 9's offices are in relation to Marvel Stadium. And for them to go into those bars is, what, 70 metres? So they would have gone, hey, we will do you one of the best fucking puff pieces you have ever seen. As long as you take care of us on a Friday arvo when it's knockoff drinks for the Channel 9 sports crew.
I must say it was very puffy, yes. So there were two new pubs. And so one seemed a bit more fancier than the others.
Yes.
And you get a feed, get a drink, yeah. But they literally, yeah, for people who don't know, Channel 9 offices are on the ramp, essentially, when you go from the train station down to Marvel Station. So stadium. So it's probably, what, 100-metre walk probably to get
yeah,
to the...
Yeah, it would be pretty close.
Yeah. Now, can I have a question without notice? I don't think I've done this before, but say if you went to a traditional game, 2 p.m., Saturday afternoon, finishes about, what, 4:40?
Yep.
How long do you reckon they have the ground open for until they kick you out? I've never been the one to kind of hold up the bar till the end of the evening. Like, do you think it's like up to like 10 p.m. or something? Or do you think they get you out of there like 7-ish?
No, well, say generally... So I'm trying to think.
Different
of
for
like,
a grand final. Different for a grand final.
Totally.
You know, like, hang around.
So I'm trying to think of that. Remember that Carlton Collingwood game where Carlton were in the finals, and then if we lost, we'd be out of the finals.
Oh, actually, I can't remember that. Can you take me through that one again? What happened
Go
in
fuck
that
yourself,
one?
Mate. So I was in a box that day, and that was a 3:20 game, and I reckon they shut the boxes, so the game finished just around 6-ish. And then I reckon you've got about another 40 minutes when they start to be like, hey, last drinks, and then fuck everyone off. So I would say around an hour after the final siren, they'd start to move people out.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it wouldn't be a huge amount of people. Yeah, I mean, post-grand final, obviously, all the bars are chock-a-block, you know.
Yeah.
And they're obviously pretty wild because the victors are, you know,
so, okay,
themselves.
Just because I haven't been to a grand final this century,
yep.
Are the bars still open for hours after the game? Can you still, while you're waiting for the team to come out, and say when the Killers were playing, are they still serving drinks then?
Yeah. I remember when I've gone down, when Hawthorn won it, and they would wait round for them to come out and get presented on the ground again. Definitely the bars were all open by then. But I think, okay. I got out of there after that, but I reckon they were still open for a couple more hours. I have a memory of a friend in 08, and so it's not midnight when they did this, but they came back out on the ground and sang the song Around the Cup in the Middle.
Yeah, I remember that.
And that was before they went to the dinner.
Please take me through that.
Well, you can watch
it
in that you're watching that documentary they had that he is it Peter Dixon?
How many non Hawthorn supporters have sat through that steaming pile of shit?
but again, that wasn't particularly late because I think they probably got to the dinner at Crown by about, they would have had to get there by about 8, surely. So
that's a good point. Now, I know you went to one dinner at Crown post-grand final. Did you go to all four?
I went to the dinner in 08 and then I went to the dinner in 12. And that was when I kind of decided the dinner was not fun in 12. So I was like, why risk spending $100, $200, whatever, to go when you can just have a celebration with mates. But yes, 08, we walked out. I mean, this is a famous occasion. We've talked about this before where Jeff Kennett patted us on the back, said good work on the year, boys. and then we walked into 12 and it was kind of like what are we doing here? Everyone was there going like, why?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, yeah. No, that would be the absolute worst to sit there through a losing one.
Yeah, or even was it the draw when Collingwood actually went to the dinner, even though there was no result whatsoever?
Yeah, that would be tough for the players because they're like, I just want to go home.
You'd want to go home and just rehab yourself, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would have thought so. Yeah. And then you got to stand in front of the crowd and be like, hey,
we'll try next week as well. Week? Yeah,
we'll give it a crack.
Yeah, you guys.
Now, speaking of Collingwood, the Collingwood players have been told to stop getting photos with, or stop posting photos with Footscray's Bailey Smith, because there's talk that a big chance that he's going to leave the Doggies at the end of the year.
Yep.
They reckon either Collingwood or Geelong are kind of the front runners at the moment. And so he's just been appearing in so many photos with so many Collingwood players that the club's gone, hey, knock it off. It's not a good look.
They've been told to limit their social engagement with him. And I think also at the same time, like, the Collingwood players are like going, no.
Yeah, yeah, fuck that.
Do you know how many doors Bailey Smith opens in this city?
Yeah. I'd like to be seen with this pretty face.
Yeah, like, I figure they go like, okay, yeah, we'll tell you that we're not going to hang out with him. But also, like, we do get into the VIP section very quickly when we show up with the guy with the mullet. I actually had totally forgotten that he'd done his knee, actually. That's really bad of me. I'd totally forgotten about that, poor dude.
What do you think the Doggies think of that when they see Bailey Smith with... Because...
Yeah.
I mean, players just hang with other teams these days.
I reckon they're more matey than they used to be, like back in
absolutely.
Our day growing up.
That's why there's there's hardly any punch-ons, because they all fucking hang out on end-of-season trips. They all go overseas together.
Yeah. Like, definitely. They all kind of separate, go their separate ways. You know, I would be like, you wouldn't get a Ramsgate hotel anymore.
It's a shame, isn't it?
Well, I mean, that's a little bit about, you know, the a bit of the shame about them cleaning up the game is that we, you know, part of the fun, you know, as a little kid, was your dad telling you tales about how teams used to punch on in the car parks and Adelaide hotels. And
I mean, yeah, it would be disappointing if you're a kid now and your dad told you about the time that Josh Rochelle and Alir Alir DJ'd together at Gather Round. And then what happened, Dad? Oh, they played some bangers, son.
But
they played some bangers.
But did, like, say, like, the captain of one of the teams, like, grab a guy by the collar and put him on the bonnet of the car and try to bash him? No, mate. They just had a good, clean fun at Gather Round. They had a lot of friends, a lot of family. It was a very sweet, sweet time. They played very inoffensive music too. No swearing. But anyone, like, did any player from another team come back running to the pub and say, hey, the other team is over at that pub, and they okay, let's go over there and let's bash them?
Yeah. they were fun times.
We've actually slept on the Ramsgate as maybe a venue for a live show. If we do one day get to Adelaide, we do hope to get there. We generally do hope to get there. But actually, people who don't know the Ramsgate, give us the scope if it's a good venue for a live show. Because, I mean, you're mates with Roo. I mean, tell you what.
No, this is true. This is true.
Tear Roo to tell the tale at the Ramsgate.
Fuck, like, that is a show worth coming to. And then special guest, the Carr Brothers.
Yeah. That's like Fev going back to the shop where he bought the dildo and just taking you through it.
Absolutely, yeah, it is.
Dude. So Dusty. Dustin Martin, we were talking about him a bit earlier before. Good bloke, great bloke.
Absolute ripper bloke.
Proven, tribunal, ripper bloke. Now, speculation he might... And it's been talking for a while, and it got heated up a little bit more because Dimmer went there. But now his contract is up at the end of this year. The 7-year deal. Actually, I mean, tell you what. I mean, we're talking about long-term deals last week, I think. What, 3 premierships? Brownlow, 3 Norm Smith. Jeez, you couldn't get much more out of him.
No, they got their money's worth, didn't they? And it just seems that everyone thinks that he's going to go to be with his old mate Damien Hardwick at the Gold Coast. But you kind of go... Would Dusty want to do that? Like, he doesn't need the money. Mm. He'd go up there and, you know, you could see he's not the Dusty that he was, and he was one of the best players that we've ever seen.
Yep.
And for him to do that, to just be like, I suppose the only upside for him, you know, you're not going to get dropped, are you? You're just going to be managed. Yeah. You go, but you know what? Yeah, I'll come up. I might play 12 games. Not going to travel. I'm just going to play here on the Goldie, mate. So I'm just going to chill out. You could set the terms so heavily on your side.
Oh, dude, yeah, for
that
sure.
You go, you know what, training twice a week seems a lot. Probably not going to do that.
Yep.
Probably not going to watch Vision back with my line coach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He can send me some clips in on Snapchat. I'll have a look at those, but that's about it.
And you can go like, I want 50% of all Gold Coast Suns jumpers sold. And they go, Dusty, we can't give you $8,000, mate. Come on. I feel like if it was any other player who wanted to shoulder the responsibility, because he would be the marquee player of that state.
Well, yeah.
And so I feel like he's probably the shine retiring type who doesn't want to have that kind of pressure. In a way, a bit like Junior when he went up there. You know, he was the big name on the field, but he's not necessarily the type of guy who wants to do media 7 days a week.
Who's Junior?
Ablett.
Oh, yes, sorry. Yes, that's a good point. It was kind of, yeah, he was a weird front man, though. Like, you know, he
made him captain as a player. Stuff. Yeah, yeah.
But didn't really want to do all the hard yards. He didn't want to go to the 4D cinema once a week. He didn't want to go to, I mean, it's Gary Ablett Jr.'s fault that King Tut's putt-putt shut down.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, it was booming during the Ablett era. Like, that's what King Tut's referred to it as, the Ablett era, when just little kids were coming in their Gold Coast Suns jumpers. They'd shave their heads. They'd come in, they'd play King Tut Tut. And then Junior left, went back to the Cats, and they just said it wasn't the same. That's why we had to sell all of the stuff in King Tut's Putt Putt to a go-kart centre in Dandenong.
In Dandenong.
I reckon he won't go for that reason. But it depends also how tight the lure of Dimmer is.
No, that's a good point. Because also during the week, Daniel Rioli was seen going up to the Gold Coast. They said he caught up with Damien Hardwick. And of course, I don't know who his manager is, but they said, oh, it's got nothing to do. He's not going to go up there.
Oh, really?
Aren't they jumping off a sinking ship at Richmond? Like, they've seen what Dimmer did to the club when he's gone, oh, yeah, get Timmy Taranto here. Yeah, get Jacob Hopper. And then it all fucking falls apart and just rats off a sinking ship.
Well, I mean, who were they talking about today at North? They were talking about someone at North today and just going, you know, a decent player. I can't remember the name now, but they were just going, look, players want to win. And
Cam Zerha is the one that's up for free agency. Cam Zerha has absolutely painted himself into a corner because when Jason Horne-Francis left, he got stuck into him on socials. Like, riddance of, you know, fire emoji, fuck off, mate.
Yep.
And now if he leaves, what's he going to do? He's going to be like, oh, remember that?
Fine. Hey, how about Harley Reid fever, though, in WA? He is a fucking beetle over there now.
His last two games have just been absolutely phenomenal. And it's kind of, you know, when you see in the first week and you're like, he's playing his first game, he's on debut, and you're like, he's not this good. Huh. You know, you just judge him after, you know, four quarters, and you're like, this guy's fucking terrible. And then he is absolutely fucking dominated.
Yeah.
See him push Fife over.
Push Fife down. Yeah, they had a bit of back and forth. And, I mean, I think Fifey was a bit off balance, so it looked a bit worse. But it still would be fun to knock over Nate from Fife.
Yeah.
And then it's just a big, strong body too, you know. What was it? I think it was the stat was like the first five rounds he had like the most broken tackles.
Yes.
Like, you know, and that's like a first year player doing that, like not, you know.
How old were you when you realised you had a core?
A core.
I don't think I spoke about my core until I was maybe like 38.
Oh, fuck no. I reckon I had an engine. I had an engine because I did a lot of running, so I could run. I could run a lot. But yes,
could you run them off their feet?
Well, I could run. I was not slow. I mean, I wasn't dynamite, but I would do a lot of running just in general life, you know.
Yeah.
Like go for, you know, big long runs every day, and then, you know, when training would finish, I'd do extra laps and all that kind of stuff, and not muck around. Yeah. So
did they have to save you from yourself on the odd occasion? Just be like, Chamber, you got to pull back, mate. You're doing too many clicks.
Yeah, they had to send me off for a few offside drug tests every now and then, just to kind of calm me down.
Yeah.
Hey, footballers in real life, Adam?
Yeah, we've got a few this week.
We've got a stack this week. Thank you very much, Junk Timers. And also, Junk Timers, thank you to all the Junk Timers who came along to my comedy festival show. It was very incredibly kind of you to come along. Nice to say g'day to you folk after the shows. There was a dude there yesterday, actually. I don't think he's a listener, but he's a Port Adelaide fan. He's in, like, Port Adelaide Magpies.
Oh, yeah.
So he'd come over from Adelaide to go and see a few shows and actually go to the Pies in Port. But I was chatting to him afterwards, and it was actually pretty fun talking about Alberton and, you know, what the scene is down there. So he was saying that Port want to build that into a big training centre, but they're renovating at the minute. So, because I was like, why isn't it used for Gather Round? And he said they're renovating, and so it can only...
Oh, that's a really good point.
It can only fit about 3,000 people at the minute.
So if they do get that done up, and even Adelaide's one, will Adelaide host a Gather Round game on the Elephant Burial Ground?
A good question. I mean, I'm gonna presume Adelaide maybe are trying to develop to play maybe AFLW games there. I know the Swans are they've got the Lakeside Oval, which is essentially over the road from the SCG where the Swans would train, and they want to develop that as well, actually, to have AFLW and preseason games and the like there. There's actually some exciting developments, and the Swans have a cool little setup over there. They have a really cool setup.
Have they called it the Lakeside Oval in honour of South Melbourne's former ground?
Yeah, they have. They have. My trip to the ABC years ago was a bus that would go around there. And so if the Swans were out there, it was a little bit of an early morning treat. So I'd be looking at my phone, looking through news stories for work. And then you'd play for about 30 seconds. You get to play Spot Buddy. Yeah. And then you go into work.
Look at you, man of the people on the bus.
Man of the people, yeah. And an AFL fan in Sydney.
Yeah.
From Mr. Thompson on Insta. Go to coaches in real life.
Great.
So my partner and I were on our weekend bike ride to our local favourite local cafe. As we started riding home, we both saw a man wearing full Collingwood regalia, talking very intently on his phone. As we got closer, it was realised it was none other than the real-life Ted Lasso, Craig McRae. Fly. My partner and I screeched our bikes to a halt, eyes wide and mouths agape.
Great.
Was that really Craig McRae we just saw? Our disbelief strengthened by the Pies playing GWS the night before. Did he catch the earliest flight out of Sydney, we wondered. At a loss for words, couldn't say good game, we doubled back and rode home. My speculation is that he was around that area to meet up with the former Premiership captain Nick Maxwell, who lives in the area and I've seen on occasion, and I believe is an assistant coach with the team.
Oh, thanks, Mr. Thompson. I just wish we knew what area that was so other junk timers could get there and stalk him.
I'm going to say Craig McRae lives a bit kind of... A lot of people kind of seem to live in the Brighton kind of area now in the football.
Yeah, okay, that seems to be... I guess if you are in the city, because what, northern suburbs players like Essendon and North, they would live around Ascot Vale area, I imagine. And if you're St Kilda, you're fucking out... near DFL at Moorabbin, just going, what the fuck am I doing? I mean, you get bargains every week, so I suppose it's that.
No, they don't. They have like the St Kilda Town Hall just down the road. Get a boxing match every now and then.
Yeah, that's true.
You'd get the pro wrestling there at maybe St Kilda Town or Moorabbin Town Hall, sorry.
Okay.
Yeah. From Matilda, I've got a footballers in real life for you. Bondi Junction being closed had resulted in GWS player Josh Kelly braving Sydney west of Paddington, as I spotted in Broadway Shopping Centre in Ultimo. You've been to Broadway, haven't you, Adam?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Seeming a tad worse for wear after a rough game against the Saints.
Okay, thank you.
From Jackson. Hey guys, football umpire in real life. Was having brunch at St. Ali in South Melbourne. And Razor Ray Chamberlain, friend of the show, arrived with what I'm guessing were his work colleagues. I didn't want to intrude, but needless to say, I really wanted to hear a holding the ball call from the great man himself.
That would have been nice. He would have done it if you asked him, I reckon.
I was talking to a bloke came to the show the other day, and he said, I think he had lunch with a bunch of umpires, or he was hanging out with a bunch of umpires.
Yeah.
So, not too long ago. And he said they were fucking hilarious. They were all fucking hilarious and having a great time.
And no, they're good regular people.
And they were genuine experts on the game. Like,
yep.
He was like, you know, they're not just like, oh, we got to officiate. Like, they genuinely were passionate about the game and, you know, knew everything.
I guess you'd have to be, if you wanted to be an umpire, you would need to know every nuance, wouldn't you? And you'd need to know which players are the ones that are going to give you a bit of lip and all that sort of stuff and talk amongst yourselves
and it's also,
about who to like.
It's also just pleasant to be able to enjoy your job too, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember a friend of mine years ago talking about how they were filming a thing and they just got the giggles all the time. And they were saying, oh, we just couldn't film the bit because we just kept on laughing the whole time. And they were kind of thinking, you know, wouldn't it be great, you know, even if you work in the mine at 3 a.m, you know, but if you're laughing the whole time, you know, wouldn't that be great? Anyway, he told me that story, and we were backstage at a comedy club about to go on stage, and we're all there going, oh, yeah, wouldn't it be good to have a job where you're laughing all the time?
Yeah, that'd be great.
From Steve, I'm in the Rundle Street Mall, having come to Adelaide to see the Bombers and the Crows, whilst my girlfriend and I were getting a boost juice. We're doing very well for ourselves. Yeah, who did we see but none other than ex-Roos and current Bomber, Ruck Todd Goldstein. His wife was getting juice for herself and their two young kids. No juice for Goldstein, sorry. Todd was waiting patiently on a bench. I didn't want to annoy him whilst he was busy with the kids, so I didn't say hello. He was in an old plain jumper and old cargo shorts, so maybe the Bombers are a bit stingy on the gear. His wife had a Bombers cap on. That was it.
I wonder how hard it is to get the kids to change who they support when you change teams. Or kids being kids just go, yeah, I don't care.
Yeah, no, that's actually a really good point. Because, and then also when you leave that team as well. Because, you know, I imagine there are players who kind of go back to barracking for the team they grew up with. If they only did like a year or two at the club, or they had a bad time at the club.
Although, strangely, Nick Dacos barracked for Carlton as a kid, which is just fucking
That is fucking weird, dude.
Yeah,
that's,
that is beyond...
That's not right.
That makes no sense.
No, not at all.
Kid's an idiot.
Like, even at least, like, you'd want to kind of carry a bit of... Like, you get a bit of stuff off your mates. Like, you go, oh, yeah, I can get you whatever you want at Collingwood. Oh, sick. That means you're awesome. Want to be your friend.
Yeah.
Kids these days. From Jeremy. Boys, got an ex-football in real life for you. Watching the Western Derby at the Bench Sports Bar in Kengu, Bali.
Here we go.
And sitting at the table behind us is Premiership winning coach and captain John Worsfold. Looking very relaxed as he was enjoying a few Bing Tangs and watching the Eagles have take a nice 6-goal lead into halftime. Also with a bunch of other ex-teammates that I'm too drunk to identify. And Jeremy did send through a picture and... I'm actually struggling to... There's a picture of Woosha with about five other people. I'm actually struggling myself to recognise those people there. But having said that, it's you know, it's a bit blurry, the shot. That's Woosha on the second from the left?
Third from the left there in the tan shorts. Anyway, we probably don't need to describe it to our listeners.
Wait, that's Woosha in the Eagle stop?
Yes.
Oh, I don't, really? Do you think that's him?
Yeah, absolutely. You don't?
I just don't think he'd be getting around an Eagles top if he was going around Bali. Yeah, but
no, I would. I mean, if I had played, if I wanted... I mean, he's only there to be recognised.
Okay.
Hey, didn't you play for the West Coast Eagles? What gave you that away? This West Coast top on that says...
Oh,
what
is, well, I'm wearing two premiership medals around my neck. Actually, three, actually, because I coached one as well.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah, we're going to hit the road. We are JunkTimeAFLPod at Gmail, Twitter, Facebook, and the Gram. Go Hawks.
Go Blues.